Now for our second feature. The Norfolk Record Office is uniquely placed for all research into local history. Danny Buck of the Record Office tells about Great Yarmouth's battle against herring piracy. Here is Matthew Tucker again to read his article.
I have spent nearly a decade researching Great Yarmouth's Civil War history, something made possible by the quality of sources held at the Norfolk Record Office. Yarmouth had a colourful history during the conflict, with witch hunts and rebellions. One profoundly important yet forgotten incident was the town's battle against Royalist privateers, who devastated Yarmouth's herring industry between 1643 and 1646. Herring had been vital to the life of the town for centuries, as shown on the coat of arms granted by Edward III in 1340, three lions with fish tails. The herring trade supported a variety of different industries, from craftsmen to the smokehouses and picklers. The industry was tightly regulated by the town's assembly, who determined the yearly price of salt, provided overseers for curing, and inspected the quality of herring barrels. A levy was also placed on any non-freeman who sold herring, a privilege supposedly reserved for freemen of Yarmouth. Yarmouth even had an annual 40-day herring fair, which provided substantial income to both the population and the assembly. The Great Yarmouth Herring Fleet was vulnerable in 1643. Royalists hired privateers to raid parliamentarian shipping, with the privateers allowed to sell captured vessels. In 1644 alone, they captured 23 out of 24 vessels sailing to Iceland. By 1645, tax revenues on herring had decreased by two-thirds, with thousands of sailors captured. Angry townsmen soon demanded action. Yet it wasn't until the summer of 1643 that the Assembly appealed to Parliament for guardships. The Assembly expected the fishermen to pay for the trip to Parliament and sent only two inexperienced councillors. It was only with the intervention of bailiff-elect Thomas Johnson, incidentally also at Westminster, that Parliament agreed to provide three ships. Following more severe losses in 1644, the Assembly sent several representatives to ask for more ships. A total of five more were secured. The guardships were to prove highly effective upon arrival. The town provided its own warship to support Parliament's fleet. A former merchantman captured while carrying troops and equipment to England, which the Assembly renamed the Adventure. The near destruction of the Great Yarmouth Herring Fleet had a profound effect on the relationship between the townsfolk and the Assembly. Great Yarmouth's fishermen suffered immensely through lost catch and having thousands of men taken prisoner. The Assembly made life harder for the fishermen, preventing debtors from selling herring until their debt was paid, and preventing fishing on the Sabbath. The town did spend money on relief for sailors, but although this placed a heavy burden on the Assembly's finances, it was not enough to alleviate suffering or anger. This anger came to a head in 1848, when the disgruntled sailors began a popular uprising. This largely forgotten episode in Great Yarmouth's past is a powerful example of how a vital event in local history can pass out of memory. It is thanks to the Great Yarmouth Assembly book at the Norfolk Record Office that the story can once more be told.